Titus chapter 1. And it says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." If we go on over to Colossians 2:5, we see, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. We finished up our study in the book of Galatians, and I pray that was a blessing to you. It certainly was to me. But now I would like to look over at something, a practical use of Scripture in Baptist church polity. The reason why, and Brother Mark, you know, touched on this, the reason why we do the things that we do is because there is biblical representation for it. There is many a church out there that understands how to do things. Right? Many people say, "Hey, pastor, believe, well, here at home, we know exactly what we are supposed to do." That is very seldom the issue at first for a church. What then becomes is they forget why. Why does a church do what it does? And that is where we get into trouble. That's where tradition steps in. That's where, well, that's what we've always been told we should do under that pastor. But this pastor says we ought to do this. We need something to anchor us, right? That is old-fashioned. We want new-fashioned. And we want the things that we see on the TV. Somebody shared a video with me about baptismal tanks. And I tease a lot of these franchise churches. Technically, there's nothing wrong with it, but they'll have these grand baptismal ceremonies where they'll go and get a horse trough, one of those big things you fill up with water, the horses and cows come and drink out of, and they'll baptize people in those. Well, somebody sent me a video. There was this high platform in this pool, and I don't know if that's just, it was a diving scenario. I don't know what this building was, because it looked like a church, but there was a diving board and a swimming pool in the middle. It was lit like a modern day, modern Christianity type church. And the guy just dove off of it and landed in the water. And I go, "Was that a baptism? You know, what is that?" There's a reason why we do things the way we do things. Some things, you know, if our baptismal stopped working, we couldn't get water into it, I wouldn't be against finding a large pool-like object to submerge somebody in. But the point is the submersion, right? Why? There are some things that we can give or take on. Does it have to be a well-established structure like that? Not necessarily. Submersion is the point. There would be some that would come by and say, "Because you guys do your baptisms indoors, that ain't quite right." Right? So we can wiggle on some things. But the point, the thing is to figure out what can't be moved. And that brings us down to our way of church government. Church government. And that word we use is polity. So Baptist church polity is the title of the study we'll be doing over the next few weeks. By definition, church polity is a study of the principles and practices of a New Testament Baptist church. Polity, by definition, is the form or process of government relative to an organized society. So we, as a church, had an initial organization, and ever since then, we've been running off of organized patterns of behavior. When this happens, we do this. We develop our polity in a very different and particular way than any other religion out there. We do not base what we do on the teachings of people. Many other churches, that's how they do it. They will get together and they will look at forms and structures of other things, which is an embarrassment because for the longest time, particularly in our American government structure, they robbed from churches. They robbed from churches to set up some of the things that they have. I mean, we look at what it is under its base structure. We have a document that gives freedoms and sets boundaries to ensure more freedoms. right? That's what we see here in Scripture. We base what we do off of this document or set of documents. Really depends on how you want to stretch it. In Scripture, polity relates to order and behavior. So the structure of what the church is and how that structure behaves. So we see instructions, 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. I have seen certain things in Scripture, and I do not know why a church behaves that way outside of the fact is that it gives it structure and order. I learned that from my pastor. He goes, hey, listen, in order to get things to run right, you have to set boundaries and lines. And sometimes those boundaries and lines are kind of arbitrary. We think about this, you know, just to bring camp back into the conversation. We set up our own camp. We went up to Hawks, Michigan to do it. And we set the barrier between the junior campers and the senior campers at 12. At 12, you're a junior camper. Once you're 13, you're a senior camper. And then somebody's kid turned 12. And they said, well, why can't they go and join the rest of their friends up in the teens? Because we set the line at 12. Well, why? It doesn't make any sense. It's just a year. You're right, but that's where the line went. We had to put some here and some there. We got to draw a line. So we talk about that in realms of modesty, church dress code, things like that. Every now and then you got to set a line. What is the difference between what is the difference between below my ankles and up higher on my calf? You know, it's all about the boundaries that we set. Why is it that we vote like this? Why is it that we're structured like that? Typically, it's going to be because the Bible tells us, but sometimes you got to draw a line for organizational purposes. So what we do, or what our structure is, and what we do within the realms of that structure. So, but everything we do has to be decent, and it has to be in order. Chaos is not the friend of anything. No, it's nobody's friend. When you've got an organized, scriptural body of believers, you must keep it organized. The things we do must be organized. I want you to imagine there are illnesses out there. There was a book that I read a long time ago about I don't want to use the word absurd, but very rare mental issues where wiring issues occurred. People who want to move their right hand, but their left hand moves instead. Just deeply troubling things that'll take place. If, for instance, we agree as a church to do one thing, tomorrow we will meet at 9 o'clock. Tomorrow at 9 o'clock, we have decided to get together. Understood? If we give ourselves into chaos, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, we have left the boundaries of decency and in order. What could possibly go wrong? Let's see. And typically when you have churches that have problems, it is because you've got people who buck the decency and the order, right? We agreed to do this, but we're not doing this. In the back is our church covenant. I want you to take a look at that today. Have we transgressed any of those agreements that we have? That right there is a sign of order in the church. Back in my library, there's a book called Order in the Church. And that's exactly what it goes over, all the structure and how to do things. It gives you ideas for different things you can do educationally and different activities a church can do. And that's all well and good. But whatever we do must be decent and in order. Look at God's instruction for temple worship. Look at his instruction for tabernacle worship. Was he playing around? He wasn't. That high priest messed up. He killed that high priest. He was not playing. We cannot play in the house of God. We cannot play at church. We'll get that every now and then. The kids will come up here and, it was a couple days ago. The kids are in my office over there and I think it was either Gideon or Caspian got up and they were going to be the song leader. They are playing at church. That's all well and good for a child, but we are adult church members. We are to take these things very particularly, take these things very carefully. That's all things in these, all things done decently and in order. Is it good? Is it good unto the Lord? Not just by my eyes, but by what the Father says. Titus 3:5, we started off with this. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Some churches, they buck the idea of order. I have long since been praying for churches that are in need of pastors. But I've run into some churches, they don't want one. Well, hold on. Now, how do you know? We've been praying and we've called people here and there. But have you prayed together? Well, you got to understand the dynamic of our church. You got the wrong dynamic. If a church can't get together and bow the knee together on the same page, there's a problem in that church. If we cannot set, if we are refusing to set things in order, we have a problem. We have stopped being a functional body. Calling back to the assembly of just that out of orderness, right? If the body ain't acting like the body, if the body's working against itself, there is an issue, right? How would you like it if your hand just reached up and slapped you one day? That would weird you out, wouldn't it? Yet the body of Christ acts in violent ways towards itself, and we sit there and we go, well, it had it coming. That's not how we ought to behave. We ought to have a drive and a desire to have order and balance within the confines of God's true New Testament Baptist churches. And I've seen so many refuse that order. They don't want to have a pastor. They don't want to have business meetings. The guy with the big pocketbook, the guy with the big mouth, they get to decide what the church does. And if they don't like it, they can take a walk. I've heard of churches going through that, where you'll get two or three people in the church, you'll get seven or eight that'll say, I really don't think that's biblical. Well, if you don't like it, you can get on going. My family's been members of this church since it started, so off you go. That's not how that works. The Holy Spirit should dictate to each and every one of us, and we should work in unity together. We should seek the order of God. 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. First off, that idea, the pillar and ground of the truth. This is where truth sits. This is where truth is preached. This is where truth is taught. If truth has a home, biblical truth has a home, it is right here, which means we ought to behave right. We ought to behave right. Just as soon as I see the kids, you know, my kids in particular, come streaking through the auditorium here, what do you hear me say? Hey, slow down. Don't run up here. Right? Just as I would correct a child, we need to correct ourselves. Hey, that bitterness. You know, we'll get all upset about a child running through a church. I know I do, but that bitterness we'll hang on to. That refusal to walk across the aisle, that refusal to get that private sacred sin taken care of, those are worse and more terrible than anything that could be done inside the auditorium. You understand? The kids could play dodgeball up here and it still wouldn't be good, still wouldn't be as bad as the contention that'll grip some churches or the private sin that'll grip some church members. We ought to know how we should behave, not just in body, but in word as well, in love and action as well. There shouldn't be any disagreements as to how a church should behave. There was a time back at Flat Rock, they were voting to put in a new playscape for the kids. It would have been real nice, and some people were for it, and some people were against it. Guess what? That's fine. It's a play place. But if we've got a church member who is in gross moral sin, and it comes time to discipline them, and they refuse to repent of it, and there's hands that go up and say, oh no, we should keep them in, that ain't how we ought to behave. The scripture is clear on those things. You understand? We ought to be on the same page where the pages are clear. So again, how we ought to behave there. Colossians 2:5, going back to it, we see this observation regarding the church at Colossae, that they had both order and faith. We read this in the beginning, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith. It's steadfast. It's not movable. It's not leaving its course. You have held on to the faith. Highlights those two words, faith and order. Faith, what a Baptist believes, and order, what a Baptist does. So these are all very important things, very valuable things. Those things, they distinguish everything we do, and it should. The things that we believe and the things that we do ought to be so clearly marked upon us that those outside of the church should be able to see. The problem is that so many have gone outside of what God has asked them to do. They have covered up gross sin. They have done despicable things. They have been complicit in awful things. Right? So what does that do? That creates a bad relationship with the community, a bad relationship with those around. It really kind of hurts people. We cannot be a part of that. What a church believes and what it does ought to be the demarcation for how we act. All right? So then we see, what would be the purpose of this, right? Hey, pastor, we've been a church for a long time. We are a very well-taught church. And I don't say that tongue-in-cheek. You are a well-taught church, right? That's not me being nice. It's just a fact. You know this stuff. So why study it? Well, I said a little bit before. We may know how, but without Scripture, we'll forget why. And I don't know about you, but this thing, it's like, I always said this, my mind's like a steel trap. Pity there's a hole in the back of it, but it's like a steel trap. Man, I'll grab a hold of stuff. I love that. I love learning. But after a while, what happens? I learn more stuff and it gets muddled underneath the things. You know, Danielle was cleaning up the school stuff yesterday, packing up everybody's desks. You know, I mean, the computers, the mouse, because now that it's over, they'll use that area for crafts and coloring and things like that. So we put away all the vital stuff. She goes, I heard more than once, oh, there that is. Oh, there that is. She doesn't let me help because she's afraid she won't be able to find it next year. But so I sit there. I'm moral support. I hold the trash bag, you know. There it is. There's this. There's that. Yeah, well, that'll happen with us. We'll learn something. It'll fall out the back. We'll learn something, and it'll get lost under the overwhelming ebb and flow of everything else we're learning. So if we don't remind ourselves, if we don't dedicate ourselves to that education and restudy of things, those things will pass. Look at those franchise churches out there. Many of them started off as Baptist churches with true foundings, but they compromised. Some out of willful disobedience, some out of ignorance, and some because they knew, but they forgot. They knew, but they forgot the biblical precedents. And if you do that, you'll forget the reason why it's so important. So I would say the goals in what we're doing here should be very clear. To number one, determine the right order for our churches. How is it that we should behave? 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. That I may put the effort into good, honest study of what a church should be. And that way, when I see things that should not be taking place, I can reject those out of hand. The whole goal, of course, is to seek truth. Now, to say truth, as far as church polity goes, many people would reject that idea. Well, shouldn't it just be based on what I like? Well, I tell you what, I think America's number one most favorite church on earth is that of the television and the refrigerator, isn't it? That's what I always call it, first self-righteous church of the refrigerator. I'm there. visit. Some people visit that one multiple times a day. Just relax. Just sitting at home. They got the hammock. They got the chair. They got the television. They've got every channel and every video access that they could possibly want. They have it all, right? But that's not right. That may be enticing, but it's not right. We should have learned in the Garden of Eden that which is enticing is not necessarily good for us, nor accurate for us. So again, we want true. We want truth. Then we want to keep our churches in order, to keep them in order, not by order of man nor by an organization, but by the Word of God. Sometimes traditions will sneak in. Well, why does your church do that? Well, it doesn't say it in the Bible. It's just a good church tradition. Now, I tell you what, our Baptist churches have traditions, don't they? Where in the Bible does it say Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Does it say that anywhere? It does not. Why do we do it? Well, that's just a tradition. Now, is that bad? I don't think so. I think it's good. I liked it so much we threw a Friday morning in there. This week on Thursday, we're going to have the kids go out, play some soccer. We'll have a devotion there too. Right? It says we ought to get together. So we get together on the first, and we get together not just once. We get together twice. And again on Wednesday. That's your tradition. Is it bad? No. But there are bad traditions. Well, how do I know if a tradition is bad? If it does not go hand in hand with that book. When it leaves that book, it is a detrimental thing. Doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. Doesn't matter what the thought was. We came across that at Flat Rock. At Flat Rock, we had two flags. We had the American flag on one side, and then we had, and you've all probably seen it, that white, blue, and red flag. Well, that white, blue, and red flag with the red cross in the center of that blue rectangle was a Lutheran flag. So our pastor looked at that, and we had that for years. Why? Because the pastor before had it up, and the pastor before him had it up, and it always just kind of been there. Well, he looked at it and studied into it, and he found out that was a bad tradition. You know what he did? He took that down. They made a Baptist flag. It was red and white and had some wonderful things on it, and he got one of those, put that up there, and there we go. Now, us, we must be some kind of... We must be some kind of failing church. We don't have any flags up there. Tradition. Not necessary. If I find a tradition is against what Scripture says, if the Bible's clear that what we're doing is wrong, that's it. You're done with it. Well, I'd be awfully embarrassed to have to admit it for a while. Man, it sure is embarrassing. You know, you find out this, you find out that about, hey, that'll happen. But we need to decide, hey, do I want to be, we referenced that old story, the emperor's new clothes. At some particular point, you got to realize you're in a shameful situation. And you can either own it all the way back to the castle, or you could get yourself covered up. And I'd much rather fix the problem than continue on with egg on my face. I would much rather... No. So again, we want to keep things in order. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Right? There are good traditions. We keep them. All right? The things that are extra biblical that we do, we ought to keep them. Coming together to dine together, to have fellowships. That is a tradition we have been taught through Scripture, and I say we keep it. The amount of times we get together, we're told in Scripture to get together. The amount of times we get together, I think we ought to keep it. However, Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There are certain religious adjacent traditions of man I don't stand for. and we need to beware of them. Some of you notice there's just some festivities and some holidays you don't see me playing with. Why? Those are traditions of men. No, thank you. Well, brother, don't you understand that this is a very modern and new way of doing things? That is a tradition of man. Scripture is clearly against it. No, thank you. Very simple. Very simple. Well, you won't catch a lot of people coming in with that. My goal is not to catch people with what I have. My goal, my job, my duty, the Great Commission specifies that it is mine to preach the Word of God. And He will add the increase. That's what I was told to do. That's what we were told to do. If I have to sit there and lie about what we're doing, if I have to sit there and lie about what we believe, well, that's not very Christian at all. That is against Scripture. Well, you can't preach like that at first because you kind of want people to get comfortable. I don't change my sermons for people. I don't change my sermons for me. There have been sermons I've gotten up here and I have preached that have broken my heart long before I walked up these steps. I preached them anyway. There have been sermons I have preached at just the wrong time in my life. This is going on, that's going on. I can't talk about those things. It hurts me to talk about those things. Guess what? We preach them anyway. Why? Because we preach the whole counsel of God here. We don't change for nothing. It is God that dictates the messages. It is God that dictates the Word of God. We do not play around. And what will happen is when you mix in your traditions and you confuse traditions with doctrine, oh boy, isn't it funny how often tradition becomes doctrine? All of a sudden you're doing something, it doesn't make any sense, and it contradicts the Word of God. And we've got to answer for that as a church. To me, it is much simpler, it is much easier for us to avoid any confusion by only sticking to the good traditions that are allowed in Scripture. And not play with things that we know run too close to the line. All right, we'll finish there. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for the study here in Church Polity. I pray, Lord, that you help us to understand, help us to recollect, that, Father, we too may hold fast the line that you have set. Lord, you put it down. We've got no right to take it or move it. Father, help us to trust and rely in your word and maintain order in your house. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.